Welcome to the Adonis Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Rich Sagona, and he came second in this contest. And he looks, this is, Rich has been in and out of the, or at least you've been in the contest before, and we've seen you change before, but this is dramatic. I think, from what I've seen, this is the best condition you've ever been in. Have you ever been in this condition before?
Well, first off, thank you. No, I have not. This is the best condition I've been in, probably the lightest I've been. I did my original transformation about 3 years ago, and got down to the high 150s, was able to maintain right around 160 to 165. I really felt like I wanted to get to that next level of conditioning and leanness. So when I entered the contest, I believe I was about 161 or 162, with only about an inch or two to lose on the waist, and I ended up getting down to 146 for those pictures.
But you look way bigger.
Yeah, I get that a lot. It's kind of funny because I'm quite a bit smaller. I think in the pictures, my waist is about 29 or 28 and three quarters. I've gone up a little bit since then. And my shoulders, I think they maintain right about 49.
Yeah. And how tall are you?
5'7".
Okay, so this is right where you need to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's just... Okay, so then, well, tell us... I don't know. So some new people listening won't... Maybe not don't even know you had a bigger transformation earlier. Like, tell us about the process from then to now.
Well, back then I was probably ranging between 190 and 195, you know, just looking to get in shape. I discovered Adonis through Eat Stop Eat. I probably took me about 6 months to really slim down. The first 3 months I was not doing Adonis. That was like from the new year till about March. And then AT2 started in March 2010. Mm-hmm. And by the end of that, I had reduced down to 155. Mm-hmm. Primarily did the ATS. Or I think it's called finishing phase now.
Final phase,
And pretty much been sticking with Adonis off and on. I would take breaks from Adonis and do other things, but I always seem to come back to it. One thing I'm doing different is kind of Lego blocking things together. So I'm not really committing to 12 weeks. I'm committing more to 4 weeks. I'm committing to whatever module I start. Like during this contest, I started with MBF. I did the first module. Mm-hmm. And then I went to ATS. Our finishing phase, and ended up with 3.1. And I had reasonings behind all that, but I think now that I've been through all the programs at least once, I think I've been through all of them except for anabolic again.
Yeah.
I'm real familiar with you know, what I like, what I need type thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're one of the few who's been through it enough to be able to actually effectively Lego block.
Yeah, it's been good. The MBF was great. It was going to be a little too rough on the legs with all the squats and the deads and all that. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to go back to, is it finishing phase or final phase?
Final phase. You can call it ATS, whatever you want, yeah.
Okay, so the final phase. Even though that's a little more intense in some ways, it's actually a little easier on me. I think the all the squatting and deadlifts kind of gets me after a while. It's a little easier on the lower body in the ATS. And then the last 4 weeks, I really wanted to focus on diet. So I just wanted to reduce the volume down a bit, so that's why I went back to 3.1. I actually did the strength part, so it was the third module of it, to finish up the contest. So
that's good. And that's cool that you can actually just – you know what to expect, so you can pick the module that makes the most sense at that time.
Yep, so that was the workout portion. In fact, I took a couple weeks off, and I'm probably going to go back to 3.1 and just run all the way through it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find it's different? Like, even though you've been through these workouts, do you find it just the whole experience is different, like with considering the condition you're in now?
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. I guess I'm able to execute better. I don't know if it's for my body giving me feedback or just been doing it long enough now. And I kind of view it like I have a game plan and an idea of what I want to get to. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the workouts and the diet, but I just feel like I'm so much within the workout itself. I'm a lot better at executing every rep of every set. Mm-hmm. In fact, fact, the other day it kind of dawned on me. That was about a month ago, maybe. But I'll be going for a workout, and I'm so into the reps and the set, I don't even know what exercise is next. Like, I'm just so lost in the exercise that I'm doing. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm executing every rep, and I just feel like that. I don't know if it's a mind-muscle connection, or, like I said, I've gotten feedback from my body over the years. I just know how to kind of focus more mentally and get a little better results. So even though the 3.1 is less volume and, I guess, easier, the way I do it now, it seems to be almost as intense. It's a little less volume, obviously, but the workout itself, as I'm going through the workout, it's a very intense workout now. As compared in the past, it seemed to be a little lighter. But, you know, pushing a little more weight, contracting a little better, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
all the learning curve, right? It's like once you... Because it's not like weight training was new to you then, but like this style. Like now you can really... Like you said, you get lost right in the set, then you come back out. Like that is the mind-muscle connection. That is the whole... That's like... not moving weight through space, but contracting the muscle. Like you're actually getting to the point where, well, now you're there. I think now you're there. Now you're doing every rep the way it was supposed to be done all along.
Yeah, that makes a considerable difference.
Yeah, totally.
And
like you're there on two levels. You're there at that really fine level, like right down to the rep, but you're also there knowing what you can handle. Like you said, you managed 4 weeks of MBF, then you recognize it's too much. So, you know, it's all just body awareness, and like at an advanced level, that's just something that comes. Now, you've been, so you said you came back, you kind of bounced in and out of Adonis and other programs along the way. I'm assuming you never went all the way back to your condition before you ever came to us, right?
No. I've been able to maintain right between 160 and 165 for 3 years. I mean, I've pretty much, the biggest my waist got back up to, I think, was 31 and a half, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So once you made the change, it was...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much golden. I mean, much softer looking at 31 and a half inches in the waist. And the shoulders actually go up a little bit. Clothes are a tad tighter, but for the most part, it's a little smooth look, but it's still, the ratio is pretty close to golden, even at my heaviest. When I stay at the programs, I didn't like go to any other programs. It was mostly stuff I just make up. I found some body weight circuit type stuff. So I was working out in my backyard. I just wanted to be outside. So I would just do different like circuits, jumping rope, push ups, pull ups, things like that. Life was a little busier last summer with the kids and whatnot. So I had like a half hour, 45 minutes to work out a lot of times. And I just found if I hit it really hard with something like that, at least kept me kind of close. So the weightlifting, you know, usually takes 45 minutes to an hour 15, depending on what program I'm doing, plus the warm-ups usually about another 10 minutes. So it's a little more of a commitment, whereas some of the bodyweight stuff, I don't have to warm up all that much and then kind of just blast stuff out. So, and then when I went back to weightlifting, I think I just started with some compound stuff, real, you know, basic push-pull leg thing. Mm-hmm. And then I got back. You know, then I go back into Adonis and realize how much I missed it and stuff. I really like having a structured workout where I don't have to think. Like I said, when I'm in the workout and I get so lost, I really don't even know what the next exercise is for the day. Mm-hmm. That's when I know I'm really focused and you know, I'm just worried about executing. And I feel like you guys have already worked out the game plan for me, and I'm just have to execute that game plan. That's kind of how I feel. So spending time thinking about, oh, am I doing the right thing, or should I do something else, or maybe, you know, I just go through the program. It's a lot simpler in that way.
Yeah, there's serious freedom to the not having to think your way through the program. It's I unfortunately can't have that. So unless I do somebody else's program, I can never actually have that feeling with one of my own. So it's a catch 20. It's a catch 22. It's because I'm always, you know, I'm either in the middle of making one, testing one, or being critical of the one I made. So I can actually never have that feeling. So not least with my stuff, which super sucks. But whatever. I guess it still works. But I sometimes I just want to do that. I just want to follow something else, just because I don't want to have to. I don't care. I just want to be surprised with what comes next. And when I do follow somebody else's routine. Like I'll do one of Adam Steers or Scott Tuzenot or even some of Vince's stuff. I'll go through a couple of days and I'm like, oh, that's neat. Like the like, because I have the way I my biased opinion of what I think should come next. So anything I ever do, I'm like, oh, I would do this next. But when I see them go a different direction, I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'll try this instead. So I just kind of wish I had that more often. But whatever. I guess it's not for me. So as far as your diet. Okay, so we've got your training story, and so you're just naturally phased in and out of training. At any point, did you even consider the fact that you somehow might lose all the muscle? You know, like the old fear.
No more gained fat, I guess. The muscle was always there, and I think I didn't make any excuses for not having time to work out. I was able to make some adjustments and still do something to stay, physically fit. So yeah, the muscle loss I wasn't concerned about. It was mostly gain in fat. I always felt like I think I'm genetically gifted in that, I carry a fair amount of muscle anyways, so it's kind of that part isn't my struggle. My struggle is always going to be, keeping the fat off. I see some guys are just, it's much easier for them to be lean, and it doesn't seem like it's as hard for them. So that's the big thing I've been working on probably the last at least year, to really, focus on diet and how I can actually make this, maintain this leanness, because I really like it. And, I get a lot of inspiration from the other guys, and even going through the first contest, Jason, which I think was 10 pounds lighter than me, and like Lynn and some of the other previous winners who are about my height and their weight, I used to always think, well, that's really what I need to get to. I was never able to get below 150 weight-wise until recently. So.
Yeah, the look you showed up with this time is like spot on. Like that's, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I think that's it.
I the people I've shown that I get everything from disbelief that I photoshopped it, that or to just flat out amazement to quite a few like holy shit type things. I can't believe you look like that.
Yeah. Oh, if they've
So
never seen you with your shirt off, they wouldn't know.
well, if I'm not intimate with them, yeah, I mean, I
Yeah,
don't walk off
exactly.
my shirt off.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Well, and that's the thing. Like when I saw your other pictures from a while ago, it was obvious that like if you just chipped away a bit more fat, like the look you showed up with now is the look I figured you could get to.
Yeah,
But even thicker, you're even carrying even more. Like it just really worked on your frame.
like my measurements, if anything, have not gone up. I know a lot of guys talk about, gaining muscle over years and stuff. But over the last 3 years, I don't think my circumference has changed much as far as my shoulder measurement. Or any of my measurements are doing very little. But it does look a lot thicker, more developed and stuff. Things that probably don't show up so well on a tape measure.
But it definitely did on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're, to
So.
me, my perception is you're leaner and more muscular, like at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that is the goal, right? I mean,
Yeah.
that's what I'm trying to do, but it's hard to measure that kind of stuff. If anything, I'm actually lighter and smaller on the scale, and the circumferences are about the same as far as, so
Well, and
it is difficult to.
that's what I mean. You're lighter, leaner, but if the circumferences stayed the same, without going to get a DEXA scan, the only conclusion is that more of your body's muscle and less of it's fat. So it's, do you see where I'm going with
That
that?
makes sense.
Yeah.
That
Now,
makes sense, yeah.
if your circumferences all came down, then we could just say, well, yeah, but you also are smaller muscular wise. But if you're leaner and lighter with bigger circumferences, that clearly means there's more muscle and less fat.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So you never got a scan done, eh?
No, I don't even really. I mean, we have a couple of universities close by. I should look into it. I just haven't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd be lying if I said it's for your benefit. I just want the numbers. But
Yeah,
if you
there's a part of me that doesn't really care about that stuff. I just want to kind of,
Oh,
more or
yeah,
less
it
look
doesn't
good.
matter if you care. I care. Like that's something
Yeah.
you can do for me.
I will
I'm
look
just ki
into
I'm just kidding. It would,
that.
out of curiosity, I mean, obviously you're a really good example of golden at your height and with impressive muscle mass and lean. Like I know everyone's curious to know exactly what that number is, like what the actual composition is, but I mean, if it, you know, if it works out in your schedule, do it. But obviously, don't feel any pressure from me and the entire community and everybody listening.
Sure. Okay.
Okay, and then as far as so you had okay, so like you said, way back in the day, you dropped like a lot of weight, and you've held
I
it.
dropped
Go ahead.
maybe 50 pounds. I think it was about 50 pounds total.
Yeah, there's that great picture of you on the beach. Well, great. I mean, great for a before, but I'm sure you hate that picture. But you've never looked back since. You've been much lighter and leaner the whole time. So that's 3 years of maintenance at a much basically hovering right around golden the whole time. So what was the past 3 years of like what was some fundamental sort of tools you used to stay like leaner and not and never go back?
I kind of kept myself in check. I would weigh more often, and if I started to see myself slip up, I kind of went by the whole keeping myself in a range. And my range for me was 165 was kind of my cutoff in my head as far as gaining weight. So whenever I saw 165, I'd really hit it hard and try to get back down to 160. 160 to 165 was relatively easy for me. The first contest I did was AT2. Those pictures, I think I was 156 or so. And I was able to maintain under 160 for quite some time, maybe 4 or 6 months, but eventually, some of it came back. But I was real happy with that because that was a solid 30 plus pound weight loss, maybe 35, and that's all fat and gaining some muscle. So I was very happy with that, and I kind of wanted, with this last one I just did, I wanted to, get in a contest where it forces me to push myself a little further. I really wanted to reset my body down an additional 10 pounds. So now I try to maintain between 150 and 155 or even 145 and 150. That's my goal. Right now I'm just above 150, so I think I'll be successful. I just never let myself get too far out of line. I'm not even sure how I got that heavy. I mean, looking back on it, we had some big eat days after the contest. I get on the scale, I'm like 155. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like crap. I just can't imagine being 195 again. I can't believe I
Yeah,
actually held that much weight.
is that just like shocking to you that you used
That
to
is,
weigh that?
it's, yeah. And the weird thing is, I don't remember looking like that or feeling that bad. But looking at that picture now, I go, wow, I was much heavier. But when I was on the beach that day, I didn't think of myself as looking like that, I guess. Maybe
Yeah,
there's
there's a weird self-perception thing that until you get to the point where you're at now, it's you can't have this new perspective on what that was, because all it was that's just you.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
you need this form of you to be able to, I don't know, almost objectively look at that form, or maybe it's not really, maybe it's all, I guess it's all subjective now, because now your best condition of your life, you know. Just post contest, gold and everything, looking back at a picture of yourself 40 or 50 pounds overweight, and then you're like, you would never know what it feels like to be in the condition you're in now to go see a picture of yourself then until you got here, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And then I never would have thought I was 40 or 50 pounds overweight. I would have thought 20 at max. I mean, I really thought when I first started this, like, oh, 170, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Everyone thinks
160,
that.
I'll be fine. And
Yeah.
150, yeah, it just keeps going down. You're like, wow.
Yeah. No, that's great that you've held it there. I mean, that's going to be very inspiring to people who want to see or want to believe or know. They need proof or something. I don't know. They need validation that it stays and that it can stay. And I like what you said that you kind of you had your upper limit like 160, 165, and now you want to reset that. And that's another thing that I think me and Pilon have seen over time is it seems to go in a stepwise progression, kind of like you made your big change and you held it for a while and then it creeped up a bit, but you have that limit now, right? Like that much lighter limit than from before where you're like, I don't like this anymore. Like you said, 165. And then, you know, life catches up. You do some things. Sometimes you can't train hard. Like you can't do the full program. You have to do other things. And then what did you just find a moment in time? You're like, oh, this fits for my lifestyle. I can take another run at this and then take one more step to like an even. You know, like how you said, now you want to reset to 150, 55 as your sort of upper limit squeal point.
And I hadn't wanted to do that for a while. It was after the new year I kind of made that decision. my girlfriend is a part of Venus, and she wanted to do the contest too. Mm-hmm. So that helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. And you know, having someone with you, you know, through the process, that was a huge step. And my son actually was overweight, and he's 15 now, and I think I inspired him to start getting in shape, and he's done tremendous. He lost like 30 pounds, and he looks great. And so we work out together. My son and my girlfriend now are my workout partners.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a lot of fun. And she does Venus sometimes, but she actually likes the 3.0 a lot. So
yeah, there's a small faction of girls over there that like the guys' workouts better.
Yeah, she doesn't do the heavy stuff, but for the most part, like I said, the 3.0 stuff she'll do with me. And she likes that a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So okay, and then so. And then, okay, so you set your limits, but then what did you do? Just all the same tactics to get to lose the weight again? Like, or to, like, kind of reel it back in? So this is the sine wave theory, right? Like, just shrinking down the wave so you only fluctuate, yeah, like, small fluctuations.
Well, I mean, taking the advice that you said and just living it, too, like having that limit and not letting it go farther than that. You know, if you let yourself swing too far in that direction where you're going the wrong way, it's difficult, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much what you guys have notice too. I think for every 1 or 2 days you're off, you mean, you know, probably 3 times that to get back on. So if you have one really bad day, it seems like 3 good days to get you back to where you were, mm-hmm, more or less. So yeah, if you have a few off weeks, usually I'm never farther than a month away from, you know, slimming back down. Now to get to this level, I really started fooling around with fasting more. I had done 24-hour fast in the past, and it just wasn't working so well. So I did start doing the 16-hour stuff, and I've really taken a liking to that. That's really worked well as far as reducing calories. And I'm not to the, like, it's not something that if I have breakfast, I freak out or anything. But for the most part, I like not having breakfast. I just have black coffee, water, eat lunch at work with everybody else, and eat dinner with everybody else at home. And I get a lot of comments of like, wow, I can't believe how much you eat and how lean you are, or you know, people don't realize, or they assume that you're eating how they're eating all the time. But in the social events, I am, like daily at lunch or nightly at dinner, I'm eating around 800,000 calories and still able to maintain a good leanness. But what they don't see is I don't really snack that much. I don't eat any breakfast. So those two meals is where I get all the calories. Mm-hmm. And I tried 6 small meals, even at the beginning of Adonis, and I stuck with 6 small meals for quite a while. And that's kind of difficult for me. It's just easy to blow it. It's easy to get carried away. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to eat less times. And, you know, I might have a snack before I work out or after I work out. So I'm not hard and fast to any real rule. I mean, I don't really like the rules. I like, you know, it's just I have to eat around 2,000, maybe 2,500 calories, and that's just how it is. And so however I decide to do that, now it seems like the 2 meals a day just works the best, and maybe a snack. That just seems to be the easiest.
Yeah, you and me both, that's what I've normalized to. The 24-hour fast, I find, especially at your degree of where you are, you're so, like, it's not, now it's not like you have a distance to travel, you're just, every now and then you're just tightening up. So it's, like you said, I'm with you. I would do the 16-ish, something like that. Sometimes 14, sometimes 16. Either way, it's just, mostly it's get rid of breakfast, light lunch, if a lunch, and then, like, snack dinner, or almost exactly what you do now. So I totally can relate to that pattern. And it's kind of nice, isn't it? Like, to be in this degree of control.
And I don't have to worry about, you know, types of food. And I did during the contest and still have tightened up, say, carbohydrate intake. But that's kind of, it took me a while to get to this. I didn't start with that. So now I have maybe a cup of pasta instead of 2 cups. Or I'll have, you know, I'll mix it with vegetables and meats. I'm not really totally obsessed with what I'm eating, ratios or anything like that. I know if I hit right around, you know, 800 calories each meal on a snack or two, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks like I'm doing what everybody else is doing, yet I lose weight. I love that whole stealth thing.
Yeah.
People just honestly cannot believe it.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. I mean, you're living. See, and that's why this interview is so important, because you're sort of, for everybody listening who's either just gone through a transformation or just or you're kind of new to this, our kind of community, like, listen to what Rich is saying. This is like on the other side of the fence. When you're golden, you're maintaining it. You can just decide you're gonna get even, like, kind of do what you just did. It's all, and no one knows, like, what you're doing. That's the whole point. The point is to get to. This is the never let them see you sweat. Like, this is the whole point.
Yeah, it was me. It was me showing off. A few of my coworkers, I showed pictures to. I didn't publicize it too much, but the reaction from everybody was just amazing. They just couldn't believe it. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just the concept that all the real dieting work is done when no one's watching. It's never in front of people. It's always the other way around.
I still get the naysayers. There's a couple of guys that had health problems, and one guy in particular, he ended up, he's eating 6 meals a day, lost weight. His health is much improved now. But he asked me what I do, and I said, "Well, I just, eat twice a day and work out and stuff." And he's like, "Oh, you do it the unhealthy way. You don't eat, huh?" And I said, "Well, it's not that it's unhealthy. I just convince my food at lunch and dinner, convince my calories. I just don't like to eat all day." So, I that whole idea where you always have to eat, keep the blood sugar up, and all that kind of stuff, that's still prevalent in anybody who's trying to lose weight, I think. I don't know.
I think if we get too caught up reading our own community stuff, we forget that the mainstream public still thinks that's the answer. They haven't gotten to, I mean, I guess there's a small faction of people that understand either intermittent fasting, the 16-8 style, like what you and I do, or just sort of dropping it in whenever. Like, true intermittent fasting is every other day, and then eat, stop, eat is kind of like you toss them in when you need them, and then the 16-8 thing is sort of every day, just really meal skipping. So there's a small group of people, and it's gaining a little bit of momentum, the idea of it, but the average person still thinks it's a specific kind of food, multiple small meals. Like, they still think all of that, and like you just said, if they have success with it, it really throws them off when they find out someone else can have success with doing it a different way, and then they have that negative reaction, like you said, that, oh, you do it the unhealthy way, because they have to justify that their way's better somehow. Otherwise, they feel bad about it.
Yeah, if anybody, if they can make it work, it's fine. I mean, I made it work for a while. I found it to be far more of a struggle and far more of a hassle. And I didn't mind eating 6 meals a day, I guess, but it was just, if you go 100 calories over on each one, now you've just eaten an extra 600 calories. I mean, it's just easy if you're eating that frequently to overeat.
Oh
And
yeah,
I
your margin of
actually,
error is way tighter.
way less, yeah. So, and another thing too, I really enjoy the fasted state in the morning. I seem to get a better buzz off the coffee. I seem to be a little more sharp. I really enjoy that kind of lighter, empty feeling. It starts to wear on me as the morning goes on, and by lunch I'm definitely ready to eat. But there's a period there where I really, probably I get up around 5:30 or so. Right around, I would say like from 8 to 10 or 11, I feel really, really good. I really like that feeling, that kind of empty, slight caffeine buzz. I feel really good. I really look forward to that. Times I have eaten breakfast, like when we did the pictures and stuff, I tried to carb up right before. That was the first time I had breakfast probably in, I don't know, 3, 4 months. Man, I felt terrible.
Oh yeah. Oh
I
yeah,
was,
I'll bet. Yeah.
and I was eating like syrup and all this stuff to try to carb up. Man, that was just, it's just not my normal food. And it was, anyways,
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think it's really all that normal to wake up and then just eat a bunch of food. That doesn't really make any sense. Like, no matter which way you slice it, that doesn't make any sense. 'Cause if you want to go, like, far enough back, there was no way there would just be food sitting there ready. You'd have to go find it and get it. And then
Sure.
any significant amount of food just puts you right back to sleep. So I don't see why, right when you wake up and you have to get an entire day's worth of work done, the last thing you want to do is consume any real amount of food. That's just gonna tire you right back out. So yeah, I'm with you. The whole, like, being productive throughout the day, it's, and you ever notice at work when people go for a big lunch, everyone comes back and they're all like doing the head nods at their desk, like they're barely awake after lunch. That happens, like,
Oh yeah, definitely. But if I don't eat that many calories throughout the day and I have a big lunch now, it doesn't seem to affect me that much. It sounds like my body can accept a little more. it can accept a little bigger meal without going into that mode.
That's interesting. So you think it might even be partly because they've already eaten something at breakfast too.
Well, I notice that. I notice that when I have eaten too much throughout the day, I get sleepy. But if I have one large meal of 800 calories or so, it doesn't seem to affect me like that.
I almost feel re-energized
again, you know. I kind of have a little bit of a low right before I eat, maybe the last hour or so, and then I eat again. I'm like, right back up and feel good again.
It's kind of you flip the paradigm. You made it actually work instead of go the opposite direction. All right. Well, then that's okay. So that's basically how you went about maintaining it. So what's your plan moving forward now? Well, I guess we already talked about one thing. You want to reset to the next level.
I want to reset to the next level, and I use the community a lot to as a resource. I had Mark help me out quite a bit as far as the final week of prep. Mm-hmm. We were emailing back and forth because I really liked his leanness. Now he's doing it. So, just get some insight from him and a couple of the other guys. Probably continue just with a 16-8 type eating. Like I said, I'm going to go through 3.1 again. My girlfriend didn't quite get to the level she wanted to get with Venus, so she wants to do another photo shoot. So I think as of now, we're planning to do it the weekend of Father's Day, which I think is the second or third week of June.
You going to do one yourself too or no?
Yeah, why not? We'll have everything set up. So
yeah, you might as well. I think it's a great tool to keep you honest, right? Like keep you honest with yourself and keep you on track.
Yeah, and even though I got down to 146, I want to see what that looks like more in a hydrated mode, because that last week before I took those pictures, I did some kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
I just want to see if I can reduce that, a little more and see what I look like at that level.
Yeah, yeah. Without doing so much like manipulation before.
Well, the week before, I pretty much dropped all carbs. I was drinking 2 gallons of water a day.
Yeah.
I was trying to do a water deplete, and the last day I cut the water out and started carving up.
Yeah. Well, did you write down exactly what you did? Because it worked. Like, your condition's great, so it worked.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down everything I did. A couple of things I even told Mark. He asked me what I thought. There's a couple of things that I did I don't think I'd do again.
Like what?
For the most part. Well, he said, why don't you try taking a shot of whiskey? It gets you a little more vascular before you shot your photo shoot. And as much as I love beer, I'm not much of a hard alcohol guy anymore. So that kind of made me feel really nauseous. But I think it worked. I don't know if I'd recommend that again, especially kind of. I don't know if I would do so much carbs in the morning. I was really trying to carb up, and I think I would have done it slower. I tried to get up, have the whole. I didn't actually use pancakes. I think I just used bread. And I think I did maple syrup. I was trying to, I can't even remember. I wrote it down. I think it was about 150 carbs to 200 carbs. And then throughout the morning, I was eating a little bit of chocolate to kind of pump up a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I would have not done so much carbs all at once first thing in the morning. It really just kind of made me feel awful.
Yeah, I got you.
I really did not like that.
I was totally dehydrated, too. Yeah, I think you could take the entire thing at a much more just wake up and go sort of thing and see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I plan on doing. And like I said, I want to come in a little leaner. The week leading up to it, I was right about 150. I think I was down to like 149, right in that range. And then so I dropped another 3 pounds of water weight or so that last day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that was a little rough. But
the pictures
came out great.
Yeah, no, they did for sure. Yeah, my guess is you could eliminate about 70% of that cumbersome stuff you did and still end up with a real good pick.
Well, I guess my goal now is to try to look like that all the time.
Well, eliminate all of it. Maybe one simple don't even water low. Just maybe cut water for like 12 hours, something like that, and just take the picks in the morning. That's most of us are our leanest in the morning, anyways. So, something like that.
Yeah, those pictures were probably about 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I stopped drinking water. I think it was about 3 in the afternoon the day before. So I was almost 24 hours without being water and then trying to carb up. So that was I felt a little strange. But anyways.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the next one, I would say don't do any of that stuff. Maybe don't even water low. Just cut water maybe. And then the day of, just take pictures and only cut water for like 12 hours and then just see what it looks like. And then I'd do one round of pictures, just morning fasted, whatever, and then maybe go for lunch, come back and see what you look like after lunch, and I'd just leave it like that simple. Like literally just live a normal day. Just live a normal day.
Yeah, and I'll post them and stuff
Yeah.
when we do it. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be great. All right, well, I don't know. Advice, your advice now from being this far down the road and taking it another step further. What's your advice for other guys listening?
Well, I think once you make your transformation, the biggest thing I did was not let myself go back too far the other way and not freak out. I think everybody's going to rebound somewhat. Like I said, I was able to hold it for a few months, but I did rebound some. Didn't mean I was going to rebound all the way back. There was a little bit of fear of gaining a fair amount of weight back, but I never did. I was able to basically reset my body down 30, 40 pounds or so. So I just kept an eye on it. I kept up with the training, and when I couldn't train, I was still doing stuff. You can still do push-ups and jumping jacks and pull-ups, and especially that's another neat thing. Once you get into good shape, some of those type of exercises are actually a lot more doable, because when you're way overweight, to do pull-ups is almost impossible. Once you get
Right.
into good shape, some of those type of exercises, like I've always, not to mention another program, but I see like these insanity type guys and middle-aged men and women trying to do this stuff. It's just, I can't even believe that's almost criminal to try to, I don't know. It's just,
No, I yeah,
I
I totally understand. There's entire categories of exercises that require you to be at a relatively lean body fat percentage and strength to body weight ratio to even attempt them. Like
yeah, I
most
mean.
heavy people should never attempt a pull up or a dip or any of those type of exercises.
Yeah, they're going to hurt themselves.
Yeah,
Well,
for
I would have
sure.
hurt myself.
Yeah.
I think I'd still probably hurt myself trying to do some of that stuff. I just don't have any interest in. But anyways, and then the diet. I would. I'm all about writing down what you're doing and documenting it, and being able to go back. So there was times I'd get to 165 and I'd freak out. I'd look at my little app on my phone and go, "Oh, it only took me like a week to get back down to 160." So it's really not that big of a deal. There was almost comfort in going through it a few times of up and down a little bit. And then for me, kind of tweaking with the diet after I had everything under control as far as calories, and maybe 2 meals a day will work for you, maybe it won't work for you. It works well for me. It doesn't mean you have to do it like that. And don't make too many rules. I don't I'm a firm believer in keeping it as simple as possible. When you have all these rules, they are really easy to break. And sometimes you might go too far off the deep end. I did a little rant on beer drinking about a month ago, I guess. And it was just basically people say, "Well, you can't have a beer if you're trying to lose weight. It has nothing, there's no place for it in fitness." And I'm like, "Well, hey, wait a minute. I drink a fair amount of beer. In fact, I want to say I don't even eat breakfast sometimes so I can drink beer at night. How do you like that?" You know what I'm saying? Just to, but everything in moderation. And if you make something so forbidden that when you have it, you totally blow it, I think it's not good. It's not good for me, at least.
Yeah,
It's
well,
too easy to go way over the edge.
it's a consistent psychological thing, the forbidden foods. If you can't, the bigger your forbidden food list, the more chance you're gonna break the rule and eat one of them, and then go off the deep end and just be no, just the floodgates are open. So yeah,
Well, what I
go
when I
ahead.
really when I when I really realized this, I think we had a couple of social events going on. It was all around Easter time. So we're still in the middle of the contest, and it's like between girlfriend's family, my family, my grandma on both sides, we had all these events coming up. It was causing stress, and it just made me realize, hey, this is a fun time right now. This is a time with family and friends. We shouldn't be stressing on this. We should be able to live and do this. Otherwise, it's just not worth it. It's crazy to kind of be afraid of events where you're around a lot of people and food, because really that's a huge part of my life. It's a huge part of everybody's life.
Well, that's like being afraid
But
of life itself.
I was having that fear, and I've been through this for 3 years. I was still getting that fear. So I kind of made peace with that a bit. And now when an event comes up, I'm not afraid of it. And that's one thing I'm personally over the next months, years, just have to keep, that is something I do have to work on, because there's a little bit of times where I want to avoid stuff so I don't have to worry about blowing it. But that's, I just, it's a mindset that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's yeah, I think it requires a new perspective that you sound like you're gaining, but it's you have to take a longer view of it, right? You have in that case, you have to take a much longer view. You have to think, wait a minute, wait a minute. It's, 3 years ago I was 190 pounds. Now you fluctuate around between 150 and 160, and like you're going to an Easter dinner and you actually are within an inch of your golden ratio. And yeah, go ahead, eat Easter. Like when you take a longer view like that, and it's like you're not going to eat that degree of calories for the rest of the year. You're going to do it at Easter. You're going to do it at some weddings. You're going to do it at Thanksgiving. But when you take the long view, you're like, yeah, let's knock this sucker out. Like it's, and that's, you just can't. The more, I think in all of this with diet and fitness, the more acute your time window view of things is, the worse it gets. So like, that's why we say think weekly, right? Like just win the week. Even take the long view, be like, well, yeah, I'll crush it at Easter dinner, but I'll still have a good week, And then the longer the view, the better. And then if you start thinking, oh my God, this meal, I'm failing this meal, then yeah, you failed if you judge yourself too acutely. So yeah, I mean, I think you're headed down the right path for sure.
Yeah, so that's the advice I'd get. I would once you make a transformation, don't let yourself go too far back, and don't be afraid to live. Don't be afraid to go out and figure out how to make that work for you. I mean, we're all gonna have sugar foods, so you have to know and recognize those also. But you still have to be able to live your life and do this.
Yeah, otherwise it's pointless.
And I don't make any excuses for not being able to work out now. I mean, if anything comes up or I just have enough time, I can bust out a 30-minute thing. Now, for the most part, I like doing the program way better. It's way simpler. I enjoy lifting weights. Like, I've gotten way better at lifting weights. And like you asked me before, does it feel different to go through it now? It's completely different now. Every time I go through it now, it's a little bit different. But there's been a big change the last probably year or so. It's like, wow, it does feel different. It feels way more intense, actually.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good advice. You got anything else? You want to leave it there?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, congratulations on the condition and the placing. And this is a great interview. So for Rich Sigona, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.